Mike Dolce Show, episode 66. We got Q&As. We got vegan A's.
We don't have vegan A's.
We don't have vegan A's. Well, we do have it in the refrigerator, but we don't have it here in the studio. That's actually a good idea.
You're hungry right now.
I am. No, I'm not hungry. I'm just trying to find something that rhymed with Q&As and vegan. it's as
vegan
simple
A's
as that.
Just popped into your
it
head.
Did pop into my head.
That's funny.
So we got questions, Brandy?
Yeah. We have one here that's quite interesting from a young lady. She says, "Hey, Mike and Brandy, I've been a fan for a long time and love what you guys do for helping others achieve their goals. I followed your principles before, but strayed off the path a bit this September as I started training for a fitness competition. I hired a coach and he gave me a meal plan and workouts. I also started Muay Thai, so I was lifting 4 days a week and 2 days of training. It was all great and I was gaining muscle like crazy, but my coach wanted me to start doing 5 days at the gym with 2 days Muay Thai. I constantly felt mentally drained and mentally unhealthy. Measuring out specific foods and eating the same stuff over and over again was just too much. I'm jumping on your 3 weeks to shred it and focusing more on kickboxing, functional exercises, and starting up jujitsu. Your guys' love and support truly keeps me going. My question is, besides fish oils, is there any other vitamins that I should take to make sure to get on a daily basis to help build muscle and recover? Also, how many days during the week of training is too much?"
Well, a great question. Well, not so much great question, but thank you for sharing that story, because that story, unfortunately, is very common. And you take somebody like yourself, and I followed your progress, and we've actually discussed you on this show and shown some of your results in our different outlets. And excellent. You look absolutely amazing, extremely healthy, and then you move forward with other goals that become more sports performance oriented, more task oriented. And you lose the concept of longevity, which is what we do. I'm a longevity advocate before I'm anything else. When you focus on the end, then the short term becomes very easy. I think I've been able to demonstrate that with my world-class athletes who perform at peak levels. So that's the proofing concept. And then moving forward, you adapt a different type of approach, which became very specific, very bodybuilding oriented. It's more in that model, the template system, which is not a fair system for everybody to fit into. Everybody doesn't fit into that system. In fact, most people don't. And what I say, if you listen, if you constantly listen, I talk about sustainability. There are other programs out there that will elicit short-term results. You will get those short-term results. And then what happens? You crash. You emotionally shut down. Your body just rejects it. Physically, you reject it. Your lifestyle rejects it. You hate it. You hate yourself. You don't want to do it anymore, and you go the other way. Well, that stuff happens all too common because it's not sustainable, and there's something wrong, and we know there's something wrong. So I say don't go down that path at all. Don't go down that path. Stay healthy. Focus on the health. Keep your body healthy, and then use the training effect to bring about the change that you want, whether you want to be a marathon runner or a Muay Thai fighter or a CrossFitter or a bodybuilder, which can be done. You just skew your training that way, and you very, very, gently manipulate your quantities and your amounts and your times. Like I say, your grandmother should have the same exact grocery list as you do. It should all be the same. We should be eating the same foods. Think about that. We should be eating the same foods. Just the quantity, the timing, that stuff changes just a little bit. Anybody that's, if you're skewing, you're trying to find that goal, you're trying to find the secret, and you stop eating healthy and you start, eating 6 ounces of boiled chicken or scoops of protein powders or handful of supplements, fasting and smoothies and excluding, certain grains and all that stuff, you're setting yourself up to fail.
But she's training for a fitness competition.
Yeah. And you put longevity first, and maybe it takes a little longer to get drier. Maybe it takes a little longer to build more muscle, healthy, functional, real muscle that you'll have for the rest of your life that won't negatively impact your health, which will allow you to extend your career far beyond what you can maybe do in that short 1 year, 3 year, 5 year window to compete at that level before you just burn yourself out. And I know people in those industries. I know, you know, fitness athletes, fitness models, fitness competitors, bodybuilders, powerlifters, fighters and track stars and all of that stuff, you know, just dancers and whatnot. You know, I understand that. It's rigorous.
You're rigorous.
It's rigorous.
Hey, David Weather says, hey, Mike and Brandy, for a 335-pound guy, would it be quicker to lose weight if I ate the same food for each meal every day and then rotate menus every few weeks? Or is it better to eat different foods for each meal throughout the week? Thanks, and hope to hear my name on the podcast. His goal is 200 pounds. He's 335. He wants to be 200.
What's his name?
David Weathers.
David Weathers. What's up, man? Thank you for the question. And what's better? Well, yeah, you'll lose weight if you eat that terribly, that boringly. If you eat the same foods every day for, you know, weeks on end
and then
you just switch the menu. You could do that. If that's what you need to build a habit, then certainly simplify for sure. The goal is to transition away from that and have a diet of abundance. Eaten in moderation, rotated regularly. That's the goal. And then you can slip in the meals that you want when you want them. What's fresh today? What's wild? What's, you know, what just got here? That's how we go about making our meal choices.
That's why 3 weeks to shredded is a short-term plan too.
Yeah. And that's why we say it's 3 weeks. 3 weeks to shredded. Do it for 3 weeks, then go right back to the living lean lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. Kyle Green says, "Dear Mr. Dolce, I recently bought a fancy blender and have been making all variations of shakes, many inspired by your recipes, and I'm feeling great. I do have one question. I've been blending apples whole, but I have heard that apple seeds contain cyanide. Is the amount so small that I don't need to worry, or should I avoid putting an apple in every shake? Also, do you ever use raw beets in your smoothies? Thanks, Kyle." Yes, Kyle. Love raw beets. Go ahead.
Yeah, raw beets are in not most of our smoothies, but many of our smoothies.
They're really good.
And raw beets are in much of our diet.
Yeah.
You know, we have beets a couple times a week in whatever form.
When blending, like I put the beets in like leaves and all, like the whole thing.
Yeah, we do it dirty. Even the dirt gets in there.
Yeah.
As far as apples, no, I'm not worried about that. I don't always put the seeds in. Sometimes I do chop the apples. I always chop them before I blend them. It helps it blend, you know, take care of your blender, your mixer. But as far as the cyanide, no, I'm not worried about that.
Cyanide.
Yeah, I'm more worried about the Adderalls and the Oxycontins and the Ibuprofens and the, you know, all that stuff I'm quite more concerned with.
Jonathan.
High fructose corn syrups and
high fructose corn syrup.
Hydrogenated oils.
Yeah. You declined a tea at a restaurant last night because they sweetened it with syrup.
Yeah. Do you have any fresh brew teas?
You're like, oh, yes, we have this pomegranate tea.
It's like, oh, great. Is it unsweetened? He's like, no.
No, we just use this light syrup in it. And both our eyeballs bugged out. We were like those dolls that you squeeze, yeah, and the eyeballs go, wooga.
It's just a light sugar syrup.
It's just, it'll just harden in your arteries 30 minutes after consuming it. Jonathan Mails says, great podcast you posted recently. Any recommendations on what to do when you're feeling under the weather? I know teas and fluids are great for you, but what does Mike and Brandy do when they're not feeling well? It's called Jewish penicillin, Jonathan.
That's what it's called. That's what we call it.
That is what it's called.
Tell it.
Chicken soup. What am I telling? Oh, I make this like homemade chicken soup.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like barley and vegetables and chicken.
So what's you make it through a few times a year, specifically when someone's feeling down in the dumps, and it's just a
trough of deliciousness.
So it's a huge pot. It's like a pasta pot, a sauce pot, the biggest pot you have.
It's like a cauldron.
Filled up with fresh chopped carrots and celery. And onions and there's peas in there and barley.
There can be anything in there.
And
yeah, there's like a village in there.
Yeah, whatever's fresh, whatever's delicious.
And you just put it in there to
and
soak up all the
pounds
stuff.
Of chicken. Not one little chicken breast. Pounds. Sorry, chickens. Thank you.
Yes.
And your babies.
Michael.
Get in my pot.
But yeah, so I make a huge pot of that. And
while
then,
I'm laying on the couch crying, I'm sick.
Yeah, Mike's a big baby when he's sick.
I just don't want to move. Zoe comes and falls asleep on my legs. And
yeah, so between Zoe, the Jewish penicillin, and a bunch of teas, that's the way we do it.
Yeah, and we just relax, shut yourself in, lay down, don't move. You know, let the people around you take care of you and just preserve your immunity, you know, build your immunity. You know, that's really what it is. It's cultivating a positive immune environment. And certain teas I certainly do drink. You got to stay hydrated in most cases, depending, you know, and everybody's different. So you have to be careful.
Do you increase any kind of vitamin C or anything like that?
It depends on my digestive environment, but I try to. You know, I certainly do as a way to build immunity, certain types of teas. But it's relaxing and going from there, building your strength.
Aiden Gilroy says, "Hi, Mike and Brandy. I constantly need to reinforce the knowledge that I have gained from your podcast over what is in processed foods. The marketing and advertising can sometimes make you forget." Well, that's their job.
Yeah, they do it well. They're smart people.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
I've been trying to find some good documentaries online about how processed food is made and the disgusting and unhealthy ingredients that are added. Can you suggest any? I have found a couple about growth hormones in beef and milk that really hit home. Thanks for all of your motivation. Keep it up.
Any, you know, books or documentaries?
I have Netflix has a slew of them.
Yeah, Netflix has a bunch. So just go on Netflix under documentary and you can type in Forks Over Knives or Food Matters. And, you know, a whole bunch will pop up and then it'll keep giving you selections. There's quite a few and we've probably seen 20 different ones on Netflix. It's funny. My mom came over. My mom and my aunt stayed here a little while ago. And
okay, wait. Before you, I have to interrupt here because when your mom and your aunt are coming, it's like you plan
little mini interventions.
Mini interventions, but they're not like he's not direct with it. He'll like turn on. Go ahead.
So we're like, oh yeah, let's, you know, we're gonna cook dinner or whatever, you know, Brandy's gonna cook or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I'll turn on a movie for you,
and they're like, yay,
yay, and
I'm rolling my eyes in the corner because I know it's coming.
Yeah, and I'm like, going through. And I think was it Food Matters?
I think
that
so.
Was the one. So I go to that one, and it's I don't want to say it's dark, but it certainly shows.
It's not a Disney movie.
Like, this dude is dying. Like, here's his doctor, and here's his reports, and here's the last 40 years of his life. And like, can you fucking believe that? And now he's going to make a change.
And I look over, their eyes are wide, their mouths are open, like, oh my God, it's us.
And they just like sat there, like still with their jackets on, and were just transfixed, like a little kid staring at SpongeBob.
I'm like, welcome to our house. Happy Thanksgiving.
By the end of the movie, they're, you know, like, oh, can I have, you know, getting almond milk, you know, in there.
Oh my God.
They're devoted coffee.
So funny. Drew Charles Hollinger says, why stainless steel cookware over nonstick? I'm getting cookware for Christmas, and it's not too late for me to switch away from getting the nonstick. Switch away, Drew. Switch
yeah,
away.
Because the nonstick it's sprayed with chemicals. It's covered with chemicals that eventually, typically, will burst. You know, the lining will burst, and then the chemicals will kind of seep out, specifically at high heats when mixing with your food. You know, so it'll just slowly seep in. Why, you know, avoid that. So we use stainless steel. We love it. I would love to use cast iron, but it's such a pain in the ass.
I think we totally destroyed. We bought a cast iron pan and we destroyed it.
We didn't destroy it. We just rusted because we didn't put the time and the care into it.
It was destroyed. Jordan, Jordan Baca says, hey Mike, I'm thinking about purchasing 3 weeks of shredded for this diet challenge at my gym. I was wondering when would be the best time to use it for max results. It's a 2-month challenge and I don't know if I should use it in the beginning or the last 3 weeks. By the way, I already have purchased Living Lean and the Living Lean cookbook. Thanks for the help.
It depends on where you are, what your stage is. If you're healthy, feeling good, you can certainly, you know, do it both. Do it in the beginning, do it at the end.
Didn't Bob win a cruise? Didn't he use 3 weeks of Shredded?
Yeah, my cousin Bob was part of a corporate challenge, and it was a very large company, and his division, you know, his team won, and they used 3 weeks to shred it. You know, I was the ace in the hole.
And they're in the health field.
Yeah, they're in the health field. So it was a bunch of, you know, people that work in the health field. And I was telling Bob what to do, and then he would tell them what to do, and they did it. And they're out there cutting weight.
So cool.
That's awesome.
Corrine Twilley says, doing a paper about nutrition and fitness next week for my SCI class. I just want to thank you both, Mike and Brandy, and the Dolce Diet. Without your help, I would have never created any health goals, and I would have no idea how to obtain them. Thanks so much. Thanks, Corrine. That's cool.
Very cool.
Oh, let's see what's here. Oh, Micah Talbot. Hi, Mike and Brandy. My wife bought me 3 weeks of Shredded for my birthday. I'm planning on starting it next week, but I also run marathons and I'm currently in the middle of marathon training. I'm running about 20 to 25 miles per week. Will that affect the training plan? Thanks, Micah.
Will the running affect the training plan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the running, I mean, running 20 to 25 miles a week, that's almost a full workout in itself. That is a full workout in itself. You're running 5 miles 5 days a week. I mean, that's a big deal. Most people can't do 5 miles at a straight clip at all. Depending on the type of surface and the intensity that you're running on, that could be very, very strenuous work. So, you know, you'd have to, and this is where we kind of fall into those 3 week phases, multi-week phases. So you can periodize your training and then focus on specific goals.
My mom just texted me with a question for you. I'm not kidding.
Uh-oh.
She said, question for the podcast. We want to know if it's better to use a free-range grass-fed butter or some other kind of butter substitute when not using avocado.
Yeah, I would say the free-range grass-fed butter certainly trumps out the chemical selection. But I think I would probably go towards a coconut oil before that.
If you're going to put it, like, if you're going to smear something on toast.
Yeah. Or like some olive oil. Oh, it's delicious. We just, I'm not against the grass-fed butter, but as we just haven't used it in practice, and I believe have better options, more bountiful selection.
I like the grass-fed butter because I like butter.
Yeah. You like butter. It's just a preference.
It is a preference. Let's see here. Ooh. Terry Lynn Polniak says, lost 4 pounds on diet alone this week. I'm full and energized. Mike Dolce, you are the man.
No, you are. Is that, what's your name?
Well, it's a woman.
You are the woman. You are the woman.
You are the woman.
Yeah, awesome. Good for you.
That is so cool.
Love that stuff.
So let's see here. Are we calling somebody soon?
We are, actually.
Who are we calling?
We are calling Ridge Kylie. Ridge is a friend of the show, friend of mine, great guy, wrestler, currently running the Unrivaled Sports Performance Training Center, which is a family-friendly gym that trains elite athletes, competitive college wrestlers, mixed martial artists, children, and everybody in between. And he's fresh out of college, opened the gym with his brother, Garrett, and they're just kicking ass out there. So it is the only Dolce-approved training facility. Very happy about that. And to be able to recommend you guys down in the Lincoln, Nebraska area to check out Ridge and Garrett at Unrivaled Sports Performance. Let's get them on.
Hello, this is Ridge.
Ridge, what's up, man? It's Mike and Brandy.
Hey, Ridge.
Hey there.
How you doing, man?
Doing well. Just, you know, just got back to my gym. Got done taking the test. Today's good.
So you are officially a certified strength and conditioning specialist?
Yep, I am.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So big steps forward. So the gym is open. I've been watching the opening and the success that you guys are having. Telling us a little bit about it. Last time you were on, you were, you know, still doing the work, just putting the mats on the floors.
Yeah. We're about three months old now. We have about 115 people training here. You know, our gym is growing more and more every day, and it's pretty exciting to see the fighters and just the general public kind of come in and all train together.
Yeah, and is there a breakup? Because I see you have women training there, you have kids there, you know, you have high school athletes there, it seems. You have professionals, you know, all training. You yourself just trained. You competed again recently, right? Wrestling?
Yep. Yep, I did in the Victory Wrestling Challenge.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah, I got asked by Ryan Stoddard, the owner of Victory Fighting Championships, and I went up a weight class to 163, and I competed at 141 last season.
Nice.
I weighed in at about 158 pounds, and, you know, I beat my opponent. It was an awesome event for wrestling, and, you know, to have it in the state of Nebraska was great.
Heck, yeah, and then our buddy Joe Ellenberger competed also on that card, that event. Nice. That Jake Ellenberger's brother.
Yeah, he competed against my training partner, Rob Sanders, who was a senior when I was a freshman at the University of Nebraska. And now Rob Sanders is the club coach for the Nebraska Wrestling Training Center. So me and him were training in preparation for the event. And so it was nice to, you know, have a training partner.
Yeah, that's awesome. Excellent. And what's great is not only are you coaching – other athletes and running a business, a training center, you're also competing yourself. You're staying in the game. You're keeping your finger on the pulse and you're walking the walk. That's what I love. I love about you and other coaches that are out there doing the same thing. It's good to get in there, cut weight, you know, compete, put it out there.
Yeah. It's, you know, I train with the athletes every week that train here and, you know, just like you said, I like to walk the walk and, you know, stay in shape and live lean every day.
Nice. How was it? So opening up the gym, how's that going? It's just your brother and yourself, right? And you decided that you guys were open up a training center?
Yeah. My brother actually is a coach down in Texas at Wayland Baptist University. And so he's kind of like a distant partner right now. Sure. Hopefully he'll be joining up in the future, but he's obligated to coaching now. But as far as, you know, me running the day-to-day here at the gym, and you know, my brother and I collaborate with all decisions and everything moving forward, and, you know, getting the CSCS today, Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist certification today. And
that's big. Are you going to be bringing in more college-level athletes? You know, obviously, with the CSCS, you can work with a higher tier, higher caliber. So are we going to expect more of those athletes coming through your training center?
Yeah, definitely. We're really making a push right now to kind of obtain the athlete strength and conditioning market. I feel like Lincoln kind of needs that right now. And
do you have group classes for athletes so athletes can come and they can do group work or they can work privately with yourself or one of your coaches?
Yep. Yep. We have both private and group training sessions.
How big is your training center?
Right now it's 4,200 square feet.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe 2/3 of the facility is close to mat space. And nice. Then the other third or maybe close to half is artificial turf in our weight room. So we have it divided up pretty well for our services.
So you're doing what you love. You decided out of college that you're going to open up your own training center. You're going to pursue your dreams. You're going to stick to, you know, sports and athletics, and you're going to follow your dream. What advice do you have to those listening right now that haven't yet decided to follow their dream, that are still waiting, maybe a little scared, or they don't know how to do it? What would you tell them? What helped you?
I guess just taking the leap of faith and, you know, pursuing your dream. If you want to make something happen, sacrifice anything and everything that you need to, that's not going to help you get to your goal. And, you know, for me right now, it's kind of in my personal, you know, social life. You know, a lot of it's just sacrificing things like that and, you know, money too, just kind of taking a, you know, a backseat to that stuff. But
That's right.
You know,
and putting your dreams forward, putting your goals forward. The other stuff, that'll take care of itself. I know we spring out of bed every day.
Right now.
Yeah.
What's that?
So we spring out of bed every day. It's not a day that I hate what I do. Or I don't look forward to, you know, working. I never feel like I'm working. This is what I would do anyway, right? This is what I would do for free.
Yeah, Mike wakes up and he just looks at me. He goes, podcast. I'm like, oh.
Let's go. Shit to do, you know? I love being involved in the gyms, working with the athletes, competitions, talking about health and fitness, you know, working with regular people, helping regular people change their lives and, you know, lose the 40 pounds or get off the heart medicine. You know, all that stuff is just so positive. So you're out there and taking the hit, you know, personal life. You're a young guy. You know, you can be out there doing what all the other young guys are doing in your home. You're building a business. You know, I know you're in the gym busting your ass. Because I know what that is, you know, to be inside those gyms, you know, 12 hours, 16 hours a day, 20 hours a day.
Well, what's interesting about, you know, people like you, Mike, and Ridge, like, it seems you guys really like the challenge. It's not like you're going to go, you're going to sit in a cubicle, you're going to get that paycheck every week that's never going to change. You're going to be bored, you know, bored to tears for the rest of your life. It's constantly about the challenge and helping people. And that's what makes life exciting.
Yeah. And I did that. You know, I was sitting in the cubicle and then in the office and you know, just chained to a desk, you know, 40 hours a week, 35 hours a week, Monday through Friday, that deal. And hell no. You know, the steady, and it was a nice paycheck that came in every week, but hell no, I had to get the hell out of there. Throw it all away, you know, just for the chance of failing. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I guess being an athlete my whole life, I always loved, you know, a big challenge ahead of me because, you know, when you achieve, you know, something, it's all the sacrifice and effort that you put towards it is worth it.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, just like you guys said, it's about passion and, you know, putting in the hours and loving what you do. And it's nice because I get to do that day in and day out.
And you're still achieving. I mean, not only, I forgot to add, you've been studying and just passed the CSCS. I mean, you've achieved that goal also, continuing your education, continuing your credentials while opening and running this business and coaching the day-to-day classes. I mean, you're already busy enough and already successful. You know, you're already, you know, have more and are doing more than most others, you know, in that field right now and continuing on, which is excellent. You're an inspiration, Ridge.
Oh, thank you. You know, you and Brandy inspired me and my family and probably tons of people that you couldn't even imagine.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thanks.
Yeah. We all do the same stuff. We're all part of the same group, you know, and you're cheering each other on. I think that's what's most important. You know, when we find each other and we get on that vibe, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of live in that realm. Life is good around here, right? Life is always good. Cool. All right. So where can everybody find you? What's your Twitter?
My personal Twitter is @Kylie_wrestling. And my gym's Twitter is @UnrivaledSP.
And your gym's website, UnrivaledSP.com?
Yep, that is it.
And that is in Lincoln, Nebraska?
Yep.
And you've been getting a lot of media attention, too. Lots of newspaper articles, yeah?
Yeah, we've had maybe four articles since we've opened. You know, at least two in the past, you know, week or so since we had our MMA team compete. So,
yeah, that's a big deal. That's a lot of coverage. So you guys are making an impact on the community because that's why you're being covered. You're having an impact on your local community because these are, you know, local and regional outlets that boots on the ground. They're hearing the stories and they're picking up and telling everybody how awesome you guys are. I've been watching that, which is excellent. You don't hear about that with most, you know, gyms, martial arts gyms, you know, fitness facilities. They don't get that type of, you know, media attention. So that's awesome. Also, and I've read the stories, of course, about what you guys are doing out there. Great work.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, just wanted to throw in there that we went 7-1 in our last fight night.
Boom.
A week ago. And we're 10-1 in competition now. Last fight night, there was a amateur title fight, Livingston Luco fighting out of my gym. He won at 205.
Nice.
And Charlie Dubray won the pro title at 135.
Very nice.
Yeah, so
building champions.
You know, impressive showing in Lincoln, Nebraska. you know, I kind of, it was nice to get our name out there. And,
yeah.
You know,
that's your turf now. Yeah. Bow to your sensei.
You're so weird.
Awesome, man. Well, love having you on, and we're going to post your links on our Facebook page so everybody can find out and keep in touch. And you post on there all the time, so you're always on the Dolce Diet Facebook page, posting and sharing stories, and I'm sure the community knows you. Awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, and we need to get you out here to Lincoln, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to.
That would be awesome.
We're looking at that schedule.
My camera, Andy.
Hey, thank you. I'll hang out with the girls. You guys go do your thing.
Yeah, team effort.
Exactly.
There we go. Yeah, let's talk about that for real, because we're planning our 2014 schedule now. I'd love to come out, hang out with you guys for a few days.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Check out the facility, train a little bit. That'd be great.
Heck yeah.
Cool. All right. Rich, thank you so much. We'll be in touch soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Later, man.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye. Ridge Kiley. Check him out at Kiley_wrestling and at UnrivaledSP on Twitter. Check him out at UnrivaledSP.com. If you're in Lincoln, Nebraska, make sure you go and check those guys out. Great training center. Awesome, awesome guys. Good human beings. The type of people you want to teach your kids. You would trust them and to train yourself and your family, and also get you ready for competition. Rich competed at the very highest level in the NCAAs. Stud. Knows how to do it. We got more questions, Brandy?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, this is kind of about fasting. It's about religious fasting, and I've always wanted to ask you about this. So let's see. So Bobby Schofield says, "Hey, Mike and Brandy, I love the extra motivation the podcast gives me throughout the day. I am a member of the Baha'i faith. I don't know if I pronounce that correctly." He said, "And we observe a fast for 19 days, similar to Ramadan, meaning that we fast from sun up to sunset. How do I observe my faith while not destroying my stomach by eating a huge amount the second that the sun sets and then fasting all day again? Thanks."
That's interesting. It is. And just like the athlete stepping off the scale, we focus on foods that are easy to digest and that they need in the moment. So that could be something like a soup. A soup could be a perfect way. A breakfast bowl could be a perfect way, because you're fasting when you're sleeping. So you could think about it like that. You could do a smoothie. You could do just a fruit salad. As long as it fits your, you know, religious beliefs and customs and such. I don't have a firm grasp, so I don't want to speak out of line and make a suggestion?
Misstep?
Misstep. Say, yeah, eat the peanuts. How dare you?
No. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess like go breaking a fast would kind of be similar to...
Just ease back in. Hydration is everything. You know, sip like on some room temperature, purified water. That's a great way to get the digestive system moving. See how you feel. You might wind up using the restroom depending. Eat intelligently, specifically if you're going to be fasting. Eat intelligently during the times that you can eat. Think in fuel. You know, eat properly. Keep a steady, stable digestive environment. So when you do get a little hungry, you don't have a bunch of shit in there just making you feel terrible.
Yeah.
You know, don't eat the pizza and the Pop-Tarts before the fast starts.
Hmm. Oh, Valina Tubbs. We love her. She's I think she's a Southwest flight attendant.
Hey.
Felina Tubbs. She says, "I fly 3 days a week and eat Dolce approved meals that are hot."
Boom.
She says, Home Depot has a mini electric skillet for $12. I made my breakfast bowl and heat all my meals in it. You can take it to the office to keep from using the microwave. She says the nonstick may be a no-no, but it's a start. Every flight attendant I work with wants one." That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's
way to be inventive.
Very similar to what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I bring my own travel kitchen when I roll. Now, I can't plug it in on the airplane like you can. Good for you. But when I get to the hotel, I surely do.
That's so cool.
I also bring a thermos.
A thermos.
A thermos. And here's the trick. So I take a thermos that seals, airtight seal, fill it up with, let's say, I put room temperature water in there, put it in the sink, turn the sink on the boiling hot, and just let the stainless steel thermos,
mm-hmm.
sit in the hot water for about 5 minutes. And what happens, the water inside the metal thermos takes on the same temperature of the water outside, which is balls ass hot. So boom, I'm ready to make tea. I can make my oatmeal. So I don't need to even heat. I can make soup in there, which I did this past, week in Sacramento, heated up soup in there, which was awesome. Being inventive. Good job.
This is so cute. Brian Shepherd posted a picture of his daughter who's five, and he quotes her as saying she's eating frozen grapes, and she says, "These are awesome. They are frozen. They are grapes. So good." I'm sharing this on our page right now so everybody can see. She's adorable.
Much wisdom.
Wisdom from children. That is so cool. What else do we have? Do, 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 do. Oh.
Uh-oh. Oh.
I think we answered that one. Okay. What are your thoughts on microwaves?
I'm against the microwave, 100% against the microwave. Our microwave isn't even plugged in. We don't have an electrical current running to our microwave just because. Now, I know people say, oh, that's fine. It's okay. Well, it's not okay in my house. I have no problem with a little bit of fire and steel to heat my foods. And it doesn't take any longer to heat a meal in a pan covered at a low to medium heat than it does to put it inside the microwave. So I believe it's much healthier to do it this way, and I believe that there's quite a bit of science, actually, that supports it. But those of you that want to get into a fight about it like you always do, it's weird how polarizing the microwave issue is.
Oh, I wanted to read this.
Go ahead.
From Thomas Tano.
Yeah?
Yeah, he is not very happy.
Uh-oh.
He likes us, but here we go. Here's his thing. He says, "Hey, Mike Dolce, you're an awesome guy, and your knowledge about training and diet must be second to none. I have some constructive criticism about your show, though."
The shit sandwich. Here it goes.
"I'm guessing that many of your hardcore fans are going to disagree with me, but here we go anyway. Number one, I think you and Brandy can cut down on the promoting of Mr. Dolce as a person and the Dolce diet concept a bit now and focus more on giving the awesome advice that you always give."
On the Mike Dolce Show?
"You have done many shows by now.
Called the Mike Dolce Show.
And the fans that are still listening..." That are still listening, Mike.
They're still listening.
"After 60 plus shows have most likely already been won over anyway." Okay. "Number two, you say that you try to answer all the questions that are being asked for the show, and I believe you. I do, however, think Brandy's a liar." No, she says, "I do, however, also believe that Brandy sometimes picks and chooses the questions that suits the show and promotion best. And because of that, many questions are forgotten. I do pick and choose because I'm in this chair and I get to."
Yeah.
I
have to produce the show, sir.
He says, "I myself, for instance, have asked about 15 questions here on Twitter and in the forum and have received one answer."
Hey, now.
Like I wrote,
you're welcome.
Like I wrote in the beginning, "I have a feeling that many Dolce Diet fans are going to disagree with me, but I wanted to share my thoughts with you anyway. Looking forward to the next show. Thanks." Thanks, Thomas. You know what? It's important for us to read these and, you know, and take this constructive criticism and see if we can do anything to maybe, you know, make our show better.
Absolutely. Much agreed. Thomas Tano, thank you, sir. We appreciate your words and your constructive feedback.
Yeah. And on the tail end of that, I was like, where the hell are all his questions? So I went looking, and here in the forum on the MikeDolceShow.com, there is a Thomas Tano question.
Thomas Tano.
That we now honor thou. Huh? We shall now honor thou.
So now it's two. I think that's pretty good. Shit. 1 out of 15 is not bad.
Here,
mathematically, I think that's very, very good.
So let's see, Thomas. This is your question. Okay. He says, "Hey, Mike, thanks for doing this. I respect your knowledge a lot. I have a question for you. Is losing weight as simple as you've got to burn more calories than you consume to lose weight? If so, how can you burn all the calories that you eat and stay at 6-7% body fat? I have understood that you eat many times per day and not small portions. Are you burning all those calories just by training hard and living an active life? Or can you stay at 6-7% body fat because you're doing weight cuts together with your athletes every now and then? I do understand that you live an extremely healthy life and train hard, but most people who live similarly do not succeed to stay at 6-7% body fat for a longer period, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. Thanks."
Thomas Tano. Nice question. I actually do have the answer. Don't count calories. Make calories count. Boom. That's what I say, and that's the truth, and that's how I live, and I believe that's what we're proving. We don't focus on the calorie content. Calories in versus and calories in, calories out does not equal weight loss. There is not a connection to that when really taken to the next level. If you focus on the nutrient type, the nutrient timing, the nutrient ratios That's what truly matters. Your food must be of the most nutrient dense. You must eat food that fuels you and helps you repair and recover, but doesn't spill over. You're not gluttonous. So you eat until you're satisfied, not until you're full. You stick to those principles. And then you train your ass off intelligently and then rest completely to get the type of gains. I say it's based on the training stimuli. So to maintain a 6% body fat means you're training. Will get you there if you're eating the proper way and you're rotating your food sources just a little bit. There's a little more attention to the time, the quantity. That's really where the issue is, and that's what I say. Your menu is the same. Your grocery list is the same as your grandmother's. It's the same thing. That's what mine is. Now, where you want to – it's hard to keep your body fat. It's so hard to keep your body fat at 6 or 7% instead of 8 or 9%. To keep it between 8 and 10% doesn't take that much effort. To get it below 8% takes a fucking so much more work. And that's a pain in the ass. So when I do that, it's more for to test theories or I'm working on a new program or I have a function that I have to be in that shape for. Try not to do it for too long.
But so weight cuts and the way you live your life are not related.
No, weight cuts is in spite of, because when I go through these weight cuts, it's not, I'm getting off the living lean lifestyle a little bit and I'm jumping into the weight cut version, where that's not the best thing. It's certainly not the healthiest thing. It impedes some of my progress. It doesn't make me any leaner. It doesn't help build new muscle. It doesn't keep me any healthier. It's in spite of all that, I try and mediate the damages.
It's a means to an end.
I'm completely committed to helping my athlete, and that's what I do at the expense of my own health and goals. And that's why I do this. And that's what happens. And it's shit, 30 weight cuts a year almost, that I'm doing this. It's insane sometimes. I remember one time I cut 3 weekends back to back to back, 20 pounds up and down. It was fucking insane. And, you look at the photos of me standing, on stage with the athlete, Jesus, I'm more sucked out than they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eat a burger, Mike.
So what I've been able to do because of that series, I've been able to, and really it just helps propel my own education and science. So I've helped to develop a new program where I can actually avoid that, which has helped me to keep the athletes much healthier going through.
So hopefully, Thomas, that answers all of your questions.
Hopefully, Thomas, Tina.
Hopefully. Steven and Stacey Mathis said, hi, Mike and Brandy. Thanks for all of the awesome recent podcasts and info. You two do an awesome job at spreading positive, well-informed information. Well, thank you. My question is about salt. I love salt. I have read that a lot of people are adding Onnit's Himalayan salt to their post-workout shakes or simply taking it first thing in the morning. What are the benefits of this? Do you recommend adding it to a post-workout recovery shake or any other time of the day? If so, how much would be in the shake or taken separately? Again, thanks for all you do, Stephen.
Absolutely. We use the Onnit Himalayan sea salt. I use it with my athletes to help them rehydrate, specifically directly off the scale, the time after they weigh in to the time before they compete. We use it here in recipes when we cook in my house. We do sprinkle it in some of our smoothies. It's excellent. So when should you use it? That's up to you. If I'm training more often, if I'm sweating more often, I'll certainly use more of it. If I'm, expelling less, then I'll use less. It's based on what you just did, what you're about to do. You think about those goals, those principles, the Dolce Diet principles apply across the board. And that'll make it much easier. So you don't have to worry, how much do you use? I like to use enough that I barely taste it. That's kind of my judgment.
That's interesting.
There you go.
Yeah, I like the sea salt. I like to put it in.
Brandy is a salt. last week, I'm in Southern California, and I go to Mother's Market near the John Wayne Airport. Nice, great place to get a good meal. And I'm sitting there. And I watch the guy across from me in the booth. He's by himself. He orders something healthy, like an avocado, wrap. And it was like kind of, healthy-ish. Little, pita on the side, but I'm not hating on that.
Pita on the side.
Yeah, so there was like bread to dip it in, but it was like a guacamole avocado, okay. Lots of, tomato and celery and carrots, a platter like that. And then he gets the salt, and he starts shaking. For 10 seconds, I have my heart rate monitor on my watch. I'm playing with it. For 10 seconds, he put 10 seconds of salt.
Not 10 seconds of salt.
But think about that. If you
had
to actually do that, because I'm staring at him, it was like slow motion. I was like, this is fuck. I could see the salt on his food from where I was sitting on the other side of the restaurant.
Did you just want to like jump up and dive across the restaurant and tackle him?
I wanted to ask him like, dude, what are you doing? Like, what's your thoughts right now? I wanted to know his thoughts. You order this healthy, skewing healthy meal, and you put fucking 10 seconds of salt, of table salt, on it.
You know what I would watch?
That's got to be a week's worth of sodium in one meal. Do you live your life like this? Is this the way you always eat?
I would watch a show of you, like, just standing in a place like Mother's Market or wherever, where people are going to eat healthy foods, and then they make that decision. They put the 10 seconds worth of salt on their food, and you go and you sit down, and you say, excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir.
What are you thinking right now?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Are you shaking all this salt?
10 seconds of salt, like... Jesus Christ.
It would be like punked, but dulceed.
Spunked.
Yeah. Well,
what?
No,
because I'm spunky.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, Michael John says, portion sizes for food get smaller during fight week? Question. But it's the same food.
What? Portion size for food gets...
Guys, when you ask a question, can you ask it so... I don't sound like an idiot when I'm reading it. Because let me just read Michael John's question. The way it's written, it says, portion sizes for food gets smaller during fight week, ? But same food, you recipes, you ate throughout the camp. Now, I cannot possibly sound intelligent reading that. Maybe reword. Do we recommend any kind of brand of almond butter? Anthony Caruso.
We make ours. We try to make ours most often in our blend tech.
It came out amazing, too.
It's, crackalicious. But we also have Justin's nut butter in our refrigerator. I travel with those packets quite often. We have, I think the 365 brand, from Whole Foods. So we'll have a few in our pantry. But we try and make the fresh one in the blend tech, a few times a month at least.
Mario Marley asked, what's a good cardio workout when having a heel injury?
A good cardio workout when having a heel injury, so you have to immobilize the lower leg. There's certainly hand cycles that you can work on, but if you don't have access to that, you can do a push-up, V-up, pull-up circuit where you don't use your feet at all, just do that nonstop. See how fucking tired you get. See how high your heart rate gets. I bet you can get up in the 160s. In under 10 minutes if you train intensely.
Oh, Mario also says, I drink a gallon of water every day, and I was just wondering if I can eat chia seeds every day mixed in the gallon of water.
Yeah, I do, sure. I'll have probably a minimum of 4 tablespoons of chia seeds per day. As high as sometimes 12 maybe on the average day. My athletes love chia seeds during fight weeks.
Let's see here. Sean Morrow says, does one still need to eat every 2 to 4 hours if not working out, either from starting with diet lifestyle first or nursing a spinal injury? Thank you for answering my question.
Diet's everything. Start with diet first. First, you go to your doctor. You get a complete checkup. I think we're going to have Tony Nota Roberto back on here and talk about the wellness test.
Tony's awesome.
We have a lot of feedback from people that actually listened to our episode on wellness tests and went out and got theirs and found some things. Found out that they were fucking healthy and super stoked. Found out that they were skewing in the wrong way and needed to get it back together. And then followed up with us because they got it back together and were super stoked on their follow-up test. So we're going to have a conversation about that because it's a new year. You guys got to take care of this. I know, Emma, I'm off topic of the question. So diet. So go to your doctor, wellness test. Everything's good to go. Diet, of course, is everything because you have to eat the morning you wake up to go to the doctor anyway.
Did you say something about Emma?
No.
Oh.
I did not.
Oh.
So diet. Before anything, because if you're injured, your diet's going to help you repair and recover. If you're not injured and healthy, your diet is going to help you excel beyond what you normally are. So diet is everything. Come on. Do I have to keep talking about this?
Yes. Apparently you do. Jagjeet Banwait says, hi, Mike and Brandy. Love the show. My question is about gluten. Does gluten affect weight loss? If so, can a gluten-free diet help weight loss? P.S. I hope you're going to be at the UFC in London in March at the Fan Expo. Thanks, Jag. London, UK.
Yes, I will be there with my man, Luke Barnett, who's ready to whip somebody else's ass in the middleweight division.
Ooh, Luke's fighting that card.
Let's go big slow. Yeah, we got to get Luke back on this on the show, actually. Awesome. One of our favorite guests.
I just like when he says vitamins.
Vitamins.
How come you say vitamins? And he goes, well, how do you say ligament? You don't say ligament. I'm like, what? This is blowing my mind right now. Vitamins. Yeah.
And then I go, no, that's how we do say it here. And his face, he's like, what? I was like, oh, that's good.
Such a good kid. That's so funny.
That was fun. So, yeah, I will be over there for that. And her question was?
His question.
My apologies.
It's about gluten. Does gluten affect weight loss? If so, can a gluten-free diet help weight loss?
Yeah, gluten-free diet. There's nothing wrong with a gluten-free diet. We follow what I call a modified or a gluten-modified eating plan, where most people are gluten-sensitive. They'll have certain sensitivities to some gluten-containing products. But not all gluten-containing products are bad or will cause a bad reaction or be an issue at all. And some gluten-containing products are actually very good, very healthy. What I believe the problem to be with most gluten issues is not the wheat gluten itself as the way the wheat was handled, the processing. So I find companies that minimally, rarely, barely process the wheat or the gluten-containing product. And I feel absolutely fucking amazing. And so do the athletes and the people that read my books and, you know, those that try the recipes. They all fucking love it. Feel great. All the medical checks out. Great. All's great.
Do you remember Oscar Garcia from the last show? He was the guy who was like, I have this belly fat.
Yes.
Oh, my belly. And you look at him. He's like shredded.
Shredded. Yeah.
Yeah. He just said, he goes, hi, Mike and Brandy. Thanks for responding. I guess I'm on the right path. Boom.
Boom.
He said, LOL. Oh, and I wasn't fishing for compliments, Brandy. Ha ha. Liar.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm so fat.
So fat. Does my butt look big in this? Does my stomach look big in these abs? Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, Christopher Thompson says, is pure cane sugar as bad as artificial sugar/sweeteners?
I would say not as bad, but it's still not what you want. It's not optimal, so I'm not going to give it the green light. But no, it's not as bad as the poison that's created in labs.
Yeah.
I'd certainly go to the natural source first.
Chad Dugan says, is there any part of UFC Fit or any workout plan you would recommend for someone with a torn rotator cuff? Need a plan to get me through.
You got to go to your doctor. You have to get diagnosed, and then you should go to a physical therapist. You have to repair that. There are aspects of UFC Fit and exercise, health and fitness in general that will help you, but you need somebody qualified on the ground to diagnose you and prescribe certain motions.
Our buddy Hanny Hillel says, I know your entire diet is based off earth-grown nutrients and non-processed foods. What are your thoughts on smoked salmon, as long as it's not farm-raised?
Smoked salmon?
Like lox? Bagels, lox, and cream cheese, my favorite thing ever in the entire history of the world?
Ever? Yeah, I mean, smoked is certainly better than processed. Sometimes smoked salmon takes a little funky, especially if you eat it in excess. But I mean, I'm not begging on it. It's good. I eat it.
Yeah.
You know, I prefer it raw, you know, sashimi.
The first time that you ever had lox on a bagel, was that when you came to my house?
No, because you had New Jersey for a long time before.
I know that, but it just seemed you know, way back when, you really liked that.
Well, because you guys, I didn't realize it was like a cultural experience. I would just order one at the deli.
Yeah, no, that's not the way to go.
Do like dances around that.
Shut up.
Dances around in the fallen locks.
The fallen locks. Well, I make the best, like, you know, see, on Christmas morning, my family has this, this tradition. And it's, you do bagels, lox, and cream cheese and open Christmas presents because it's the Jewish side.
Yeah. The Jewish, it's called
melding.
Jewish Christmas.
Jewish. It's Christmas. I actually used to put up a Hanukkah bush and
yeah, bought it a Christmas tree lot.
But it's
decorated as a Christmas tree.
No, but it was decorated with popsicle sticks, Stars of David dipped in glitter, and dreidels hung on each branch. It was really cute. But anyway, yeah. So we would do bagels, lox, and cream cheese, and I would have to make the bagel specifically for Mike in a certain fashion.
Yeah, because Brandy is a ninja at bagel, lox, and cream cheese preparation. Now, here's the thing, because it has to be a toasted bagel, and an everything bagel is pretty much the best bagel for this particular sandwich. But when you bite into it, each bite should be even.
Even with the locks.
With the locks.
So, yeah.
And if the locks isn't shredded, if it isn't cut, when you bite into it, well, it'll be like a big piece of sashimi that just comes off because it's a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
It's strained. So it has to be cut up, sliced up with a serrated knife.
Yeah. And you have to cut it on the bagel into the cream cheese.
And there's a whole to do. Now you can just, hey, go, order number four.
Yeah, I don't order number four on my bagels.
No, that's how you get it. But Brandy takes like the half hour, so I always ask for two.
Yeah, I always have to make Mike two because by the time I'm finished making his one bagel, I'm starting to eat mine. He's done.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not getting up. Here we go. What's this? James DePaul, what foods do you recommend for people allergic to peanuts and still stick to your guidelines? Don't eat peanuts.
Don't eat peanuts. Do you have an approved list from your doctor? Come back to me with that first.
Yeah.
Can't fuck around with peanut allergies,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, those kill people. Let's see here. Ooh. Breton Road says, when choosing coconut water to drink, do you pick a Tetra Pak or a can? I've heard that cans aren't as good because of possible contaminants in the aluminum. Thoughts?
Well, we're lucky because at the Whole Foods here, there's a lot of coconuts.
Coconut waters.
Real coconuts.
Oh, real coconuts too, yeah.
That we'll get some of those specifically if we have little, you know, parties and get-togethers. Or we'll just keep some in the fridge and in the garage. We also get the Harmless Harvest coconut water quite often. And that's, you know, what we get, which kind of – it's delicious. You know, I don't know if we had it. Rather expensive. So when we do coconut water, we try and make it count.
So I posted on Facebook, I said – new Mike Dolce show happening today. Ask your questions now, right? So all these questions come in, which is awesome. And then Aaron, not my brother Aaron, Aaron Byrne says new show, ? Like a video or TV show? No, Aaron, welcome to the Mike Dolce show podcast.
Aaron.
That made me laugh.
You need to download the app on iTunes, man. Or on your mobile phone. Get that shit for free.
Oh, and then he wrote, and then there's like another question, and then he wrote, oh, that's not a question for him, LOL. Too late.
Too late.
That made me laugh.
Bust it. Move on. Cool. All right, guys. Caveman Foods. Check out cavemanfoods.com/Dolce. Promo code Dolce. Save 10% on the most delicious tasting natural snack bars available. Don't live on them, but snack on them. They're good. We use them here. And Onnit, big thank you to Onnit, sponsor of our show. And Onnit.com/Dolce, 10%. I'm having good results with the Alpha Brain challenge that I'm conducting over here. I feel better. I feel clearer. My short term is getting better. So I'm going to take the...
You haven't lost track of a question today.
I haven't.
It was good.
I'm going to take the Sudoku test here before Christmas, and that'll be the middle of the phase, and I'll talk about the results. Don't want to speak too soon, but I'm feeling pretty good. So Onnit.com/Dolce, promo code Dolce, and save 5 to 20% off some great products over there. Great guys. And Christmas is coming up. What are you guys getting? Healthy Christmas. What are you getting for the people around you? I know what I'm getting for Brandy.
What?
Ooh, can't tell you. All right, guys, good stuff. Remember, don't count calories. Make calories count. Boom.